and this is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, Joe Luck was the featured speaker for the third annual Dale and Betty Bumpers Distinguished Lecture. It took place on the University of Arkansas campus. It's sponsored by the Dale Bumpers College of Agricultural, Food, and Life Sciences at the U of A. Joe Luck was president and CEO of Heifer International for 18 years. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis covered her speech, and he has this report.
Joe Luck worked for Heifer International for 25 years and served as the organization's CEO for nearly two decades until 2010. And she currently works as a consultant on issues of global food security and empowering small farmers, particularly women, in the developing world. With such a resume, the theme of her lecture is unsurprising. Luck's lecture focused on how to feed the world's estimated population of 9.6 billion people by the middle of this century.
How do we do that when we have dwindling natural resources? We have water shortage issues. We have got climate change that I want to tell you is beginning to frighten me when I see the possibilities and hear some of the newest reports about what could happen. We have to prepare for that the best way we can. And the growing gap between what some say the haves and have-nots, the growing gap is frightening around the world, and we're realizing that is going to create that political and social tension that's going to affect so many things we do and whether we're working together or not. And I won't go into this now, but we have got to break down some barriers that are going to harm us if we can't do that.
That idea of breaking down barriers was central to Luck's discussion. To highlight the impact that fostering equality can have on sustaining the world, she told a few stories from her time at Heifer International. The first of which was about a 9-year-old girl named Beatrice, whom she met in Uganda.
She was carrying heavy wood or baskets of produce or what on her little head, and she'd always peek in the little window of the schoolhouse. And I said, she must love school. And they said, oh, she can't afford to go to school because you have to buy all your books and things. You know, it's not free in where she lives. And so we delivered, her mother received a goat, and then she had the offspring goat, passed it on, which paid back her living loan to another person her family had prepared, and then the milk was sold, and Beatrice got the money to go to school.
Luck says that from that point, Beatrice made it through primary school and eventually earned her secondary education in a nearby city. In fact, Beatrice's story was eventually turned into a book titled Have You Seen Beatrice's Goat? But Luck says that the story is more than merely a children's book.
It tells you in a very nice, pleasant way the impact of a small gift and investment in people and what can happen. And it's through a livestock gift. But of course, that means using the manure and the means and the way to learn to grow the seeds and plant the hydrogen-fixing trees and terrace the hillsides that are slash and burn. You know, I could tell you a million things about all that. But that was just the catalyst. And they end up bringing roads in and building schools. And I mean, you just take some goats or some sows or rabbits in the beginning, it will change great lives because they take charge and they own it. It's their life. It's like building this country. We talk about that. It's because we had land resources and we had the passion and the opportunity.
Luck says that with the educational and economic opportunity given from that one goat and what followed, Beatrice went on to get a scholarship to the Clinton School of Public Service in Little Rock, which led her to an internship in Senator Hillary Clinton's office and now to working with Heifer International in New York. Another story that Luck used to illustrate her point about the impacts of breaking down barriers came from her time with the Maasai people of Kenya.
And I was the guest, and I would interview the chief, and I would say, now, how much time do you spend feeding the animals? Oh, no, wife number two does that. And I said, okay, well, I understand. And so what about, and I go on other questions. Oh, wife number one. And I mean, you know, the way it worked. And I said, oh, it would be so exciting if the women could go to the training. And he said, oh, not in our culture, it's the men. So, you know, for 40 years, the men have been training and the women were the backyard caregivers of the animals. thought we need to work on that connection.
So she convinced the Maasai chief to let women take part in the training sessions with Heifer International staff by telling him of the economic advantage that could come to his village if the women who were taking care of the animals actually received the requisite skills.
And so they had some rules. The women had to be escorted to and from their training, I guess so they wouldn't misbehave like the men. They knew that perspective. And then also, they could only have one wife from a family at a time attend the training. And then they had to do handwork so that their time would be productive. Well, it was not long before it made such a difference economically. And the chief was proud. It was successful. Everything went great. And he even brought me back and presented me with his spear. And for a man chief to give his spear to anyone, and particularly a female, is really almost unheard of.
It seems as though breaking down barriers in regards to traditional gender roles was habit for Luck, as she relayed a story about sitting in the dirt and talking with the women of a tribe in Zimbabwe.
And they kept introducing me to the men, which is fine. They're very important in their work and so forth. And I finally said, I would like to visit with the women in this village as well. And they said, okay, and they brought them together. Most of them had a toddler, maybe a baby on their back. I sat by one woman that was pregnant and had a baby wrapped around and on her back. And I asked the women, what are your dreams? And they said they didn't really know they could have dreams. And I said, of course you can have dreams. And we talked about it. And I said, in fact, write them down if you can, or remember them, or draw them on something, or whatever good works for you. And then think about them and believe in them, and you'd be amazed what will come true if you believe in it and work toward it.
Luck says that after she left that village, one of the women, named Terai, liked the idea and wrote her dreams on a scrap piece of tin. That list would again surface years later when Terai was asked to be a part of the dedication of Heifer International's world headquarters in Little Rock.
And they'd ask her to tell the story of her journey for everyone there, and she did. And she talked about this woman that came, and they hadn't had anyone from the Americas and all that, and that she sat on the ground with them and ate what they were eating and all those things. And she said, told us we could have dreams, and she said, I went back to Zimbabwe, and I dug up my little tin thing, and I brought my list. And she said, I wanted to read it to you. My dream, because I wanted to be educated so much, and she said, was to go to America to get my bachelor's, to get my master's, and my doctorate. That's someone that had never been in a classroom. And she had achieved everything then except her doctorate, and she was working on it at Michigan in evaluation and monitoring.
Terai's story even caught the attention of television personality Oprah Winfrey, who not only featured Terai on her talk show, but when she signed off the air after 25 years, Winfrey considered Terai her all-time favorite guest and pledged $1.5 million to build a school in Terai's home village. And although Luck says that throughout her 25-year with Heifer International, she was shot at, narrowly missed being on a hijacked plane, and has eaten a menagerie of local fare such as snake, yak, and beetles, she urged the audience to carry forward in the same tradition of breaking down barriers and fostering discussion with local leaders in the developing world. But she stressed that that's only possible through respect and compassion. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.